We shot dogs. Not by accident. We did it on purpose. And we called it Operation Scooby. I'm a dog person, so I thought about that a lot. First time was instinct. I hear O'Leary go, "Jesus!" And there's a skinny brown dog lapping up blood the same way he'd lap up water from a bowl. It wasn't American blood, but still, there's that dog lapping it up. And that's the last straw, I guess, and then it's open season on dogs. At the time, you don't think about it. You're thinking about who's in that house, what's he armed with, how's he gonna kill you, your buddies. You're going block by block, fighting with rifles good to 550 meters, and you're killing people at five in a concrete box. The thinking comes later, and they give you the time. See, it's not a straight shot back from war to the Jacksonville Mall. When our deployment was up, they put us on TQ, this logistics base out in the desert. Let us decompress a bit. I'm not sure what they meant by that. Decompress. We took it to mean jerk off a lot in the showers, smoke a lot of cigarettes, and play a lot of cards. And then they took us to Kuwait and put us on a commercial airliner to go home. So, there you are. You've been in a no-shit war zone, and then you're sitting in a plush chair looking up at a little nozzle shooting air conditioning, thinking, what the fuck? You've got a rifle between your knees, and so does everyone else. Some Marines got M9 pistols, but they take away your bayonets because you aren't allowed to have knives on an airplane. Even though you showered, you all look grimy and lean. Everybody's hollow-eyed, and their camis are beat to shit. And you sit there and close your eyes and think. The problem is your thoughts don't come out in any kind of straight order. You don't think, oh, I did A, then B, then C, then D. You try to think about home. Then you're in the torture house. You see the body parts in the locker and the retarded guy in the cage. He squawked like a chicken. His head was shrunk down to a coconut. Takes you a while to remember Doc saying they'd shot mercury into his skull, and it still doesn't make any sense. You see the things you saw the times you nearly died. The broken television and the Haji corpse. Eye colts covered in blood. The lieutenant on the radio. You see the little girl. The photographs Curtis found in a desk. First had a beautiful Iraqi kid, maybe 7 or 8 years old, in bare feet and a pretty white dress like it's First Communion. Next, she's in a red dress, high heels, heavy makeup. Next photo, same dress, but her face is smudged. She's holding a gun to her head. I tried to think of other things, like my wife, Cheryl. She's got pale skin and fine dark hairs on her arms. She's ashamed of them, but they're soft, delicate. But thinking of Cheryl made me feel guilty. And I think about Lance Corporal Hernandez, Corporal Smith, and Eicholtz. We were like brothers, Eicholtz and me. The two of us saved this Marine's life one time. A few weeks later, Eicholtz is climbing over a wall, and Sergeant pops out a window, shoots him in the back when he's halfway over. So I'm thinking about that. And I'm seeing the retard, and the girl, and the wall Eicholtz died on. But here's the thing. I'm thinking a lot, and I mean a lot, about those fucking dogs. And I'm thinking about my dog, Vicar. About the shelter we'd got him from, where Cheryl said we'd had to get an older dog because nobody takes older dogs. How we could never teach him anything. How he'd throw up shit he shouldn't have eaten in the first place. How he'd slink away all guilty, tail down and head low and back legs crouched. How his fur started turning gray 2 years after we got him, and he had so many white hairs on his face that it looked like a mustache. So there it was, Vicar and Operation Scooby, all the way home.